What up, everybody? We are here, Primetime Props. It is Friday, October 17th. It is week 7. I am not Jeff Edelstein. He is out this week. We will greatly miss him. I'm Luch, Justin Carlucci. We are at a 1ET time slot window this week. We'll be back at 4 o'clock next week. Got a loaded show on a crazy slate. Always a ton of storylines. I got Keith Eister and Justin Bales with me from Props. If you've been tuning in, you know them, and we have a guest with us. It's Big T. What's up, Tony from Run Pure Sports? How's it going, man? Thanks for taking the time and kicking it with us today.
Doing good. I'm happy to join you boys. Followed you guys for a while now and happy to hop on here and pick a few winners.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we had a hell of a game last night, and those fraudy Steelers, that's all I'm going to say. Joe Flacco doing his thing, and we had a bunch of props and a bunch of picks up at the site. Bales, I just want to say hello to you and tip my cap. You had the Pat Freiermuth anytime TD, and he did it twice for you, man. So great call on that one.
Yeah, I mean, we lucked out that, four tight end touchdowns, but three different tight ends for them. So really had your pick of the litter, and you could have just jumped on it and won.
Yeah, the Arthur Smith special, good old Arthur Smith. I am well familiar with his shenanigans. Keith Eister is with us today. And by the way, you can subscribe to our newsletter. Keith drops out some early picks every week to get ahead of the curve. And Keith, you've been getting some serious closing line value in a lot of the props picks you've been sending out on like Thursday mornings.
Yeah, Rashee Rice at 56.5 is on the books already. Jaden Daniels number is climbing as well. So a couple of good ones this week that we've got some CLV on already.
Rashee Rice, is he good chalk or not? We'll definitely get to that. Like and subscribe. Our YouTube channel is in its infancy, but we're trying to grow that bad boy. So please like and subscribe our Props YouTube channel. You can check us out on Twitter live every Friday as well. All of our content on Props is completely free. And just so I don't forget, Big T, where can the people find you and your work over there for RPS?
Yeah, you can find all my like premium stuff at runpuresports.com, but also tons of free content and stuff just on my Twitter at Big T44DFS, just like on the right below my face right here. So yeah, a lot of free stuff I put out, like flow charts and different things throughout the year. But check it out if you like fun and content.
Love it. Well, let's have some fun. Set those alarm clocks early Sunday morning. You know, God bless the people overseas. We always grace them with the best NFL football games. 13-11 last week at Wembley. I think it was at Wembley last week. And, you know, maybe a little bit better of a game this week with LA and Jacksonville. But unfortunately, word was this afternoon that Puka is out. I guess that's not really a shock if you've been, you know, kind of following along the timeline of things. But just kind of collectively, Keith, I'll throw it over to you first. You hear the Puka news, you know, what are your thoughts about that offense and like who's going to step up?
Jordan Whittington played 92% of the snaps last week, and Puka barely played in the second half, unfortunately, missing one of the best players in the NFL here. Did we get Tutu Atwell news? Because he was out last week as well, so that might dampen the outlook for Whittington a little bit. But even if Atwell is in, I think it's Whittington that steps into the Puka-type role. Similar profile. Obviously, he's not Puka Nacua. Nobody in the NFL is. But you have to feel pretty good about the role for Jordan Whittington here.
Yeah, 38.5 line for 2-2. Tony, I know you know you're big in the DFS streets. 2-2 is like the showdown sweetheart. Boom or bust. Either love him or you hate those kind of guys. You know, I like to take a stand on those guys once in a while. What are your thoughts? What are the Rams going to look like here without Puka in this one?
Yeah, he's just such a big part of their offense that you wonder kind of where they're going to go. I'm a huge Rams guy too. I'm super, super invested in them for season-long stuff. It kills them though. I mean, Puka just does everything. I still think – and their defense has been a little banged up and beaten up too the last couple weeks, which I think that's one of their strengths is their defense for sure. So I'm a little concerned. The issue is I just don't like Jacksonville. I think they're overrated. They are good up front, but I don't love what I see. I was kind of looking through the flow chart. I like to look through my flow chart for like props and stuff. I don't see anything that like totally sticks out. Devontae, I always wonder like, when a guy like Puka's out, how much it helps or hurts Devontae. Lots of people always think that if one's out, the other guy's just got to get peppered more. I've always kind of felt the other way. Like, Puka takes so much of the attention that Devontae's life becomes so much easier. Does it really help him or hurt him prop-wise? I don't know. But I think I like the Rams in this spot. As far as props, I don't see a ton that sticks out to me yet. I like the passing game a little bit, but we need to get some of the injury news, stuff like that. What was Whittington's prop, like receptions? I was trying to pull it up. Yards, 40. What's his receptions?
3.5.
Yeah, like I would have to like the over there, I think. No matter what, like, some of the other injury news is, I would have to like that.
Yeah. Bales, any takes on this game? Any Rams thoughts? Any Jags thoughts?
It's tough. I think Keith and Big T pretty much nailed it. I think if just kind of the way that I would look at it is you take the player that you like the most. I think Atwell, I think Whittington, I think that even Devontae Adams, or if you're looking for kind of a, I don't know if I would say sneakier, but Kyren Williams receiving, the Jags are pretty bad against running backs out of the backfield, and Williams has been beating a pretty low number all year. I feel like they're all relatively risky, but also like a good ladder spot, because you know, you're not going to stop the Rams offense. I feel pretty confident that even without Puka, they're going to put up some points here. So I kind of feel like I would rather take the upside of kind of picking my favorite spot and then laddering it and hoping that, you know, I kind of hit on that big play that they're getting. I think they kind of nailed it with, you know, Adams is Adams. We know what he's going to do. Whittington's going to not take over the Puka role, but then you have Atwell as the deep threat there. So I like the passing game. I think it's a little safer to just go Stafford and grab the passing yards as a total there. But I do think that it's a spot where you could kind of take the shot on the ladders here.
Yeah, the Rams are top 10 in pass percentage in neutral situations this year, according to Fantasy Points. You know, will that change without Puka? You know, pretty much like everyone said, and it's blatantly obvious how much Puka does. We'll see. Keith, any closing thoughts, or should we move on here? Yeah, good old mute button. I know. West Coast, it's a little early over there, so
it's way too early here, man. nothing else for me.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's move on to the Birds and the Vikings here. And tell you what, I'm up here in Pennsylvania. You might know that if you've been following me for a while. It has been fun for Philly Sports Radio this week, let me tell you. The fact that Joel Embiid's playing preseason tonight is probably the most optimistic news, you know, that's anyone's said in the past week or so. Eagles, man, you know, it's bad when someone like Werflowski could jump on Twitter and just, you know, see easily how predictable this offense has been. I don't know. They're such a strange team. Big T, what's your take on this Eagles team in general? Are they broken, or is it just some easy things they could clean up?
So 2 years ago, one of like the strongest takes I had was that they were really bad before people kind of thought they were bad, and that's how it went. It snowballed, a lot of injuries. Last year, I kind of leaned into it again, and then real quick, you could see they were just dominant up front, dominant in all areas, and quickly jumped on. This year, it was kind of the same. I assumed they were going to be good, and now they just – I think they're one of the only, maybe the only team that's been outgained every single game this season. Their offense looks totally broken. My flow chart, like all the plays, like Hurts, where is Saquon? All the categories are basically unders for me. All the props on Philly side are unders. And all the, like, Carson Wentz is one of the best quarterback plays for overs for me. I'm always made fun of because I bet Carson Wentz to win MVP like 5 years ago. Everyone makes fun of me for it. But all jokes aside, this is a great Carson Wentz spot. Philadelphia is so injured on defense. Secondary has been getting carved. And you got Justin Jefferson. You got everything you could want in a passing game to attack this team. So I love Minnesota in this spot. I love Jefferson. I like a lot of the unders for all the Philly guys. If I was betting anything Philly-wise over, it would definitely be the passing game, though. Maybe they get something going, but it just looks broken to me. I don't really need to – I don't need to be first in on the Philadelphia passing game all of a sudden getting good. Like, I'm okay seeing it get better as we go and then adjusting. Until then, I'm just going to bet unders. Yeah, I mean, TJ Hockenson looks like a pretty bad play, but his props aren't that high, though, so I don't see it. So just in general, yeah, I like Minnesota and Wentz overs, Justin Jefferson or Addison overs, and then all these Philadelphia guys under.
Yeah, and I'll throw it over to you, Keith, but, you know, it just kind of feels with a team who has recently and traditionally been very good record-wise, you know, Super Bowl winners. People just assume there's going to be some positive regression, but they're banged up. You know, obviously Kelsey retired and Lane Johnson can't stay on the field. It's hard to watch. Dickerson, maybe that's who I was thinking of, but multiple linemen shuffling in and out, and that's what this team leaned on. Like you said, Tony, you know, the last couple of years is it kind of made them who they were. And it's amazing that at every level of football, offensive line just wins games like every year. That's kind of why the Vikings have been so consistently good. They invested so much in that offensive line the past 10 years through the free agency and the draft to at least stay competitive, I guess I should say. Keith, the last 2 weeks, Justin Jefferson, 50% air yard share, Carson Wentz revenge game. Can it get any better than this?
Yeah, I mean, even with Addison back, we know Jefferson's going to dominate targets. Wentz is a positive over J.J. McCarthy, and from what I've seen, as long as McCarthy is starting here, I'm good with some Wentz overs, some J.J. overs. Jordan Mason is somebody I took a hard look at, too. Unfortunately, the number's up to 69.5. 64.5 at one spot that I'm seeing. I still like it at that number. Philly has allowed the seventh most rushing yards this season as well. So, and a chance that Jalen Carter does not play, who, when he's been out the last week, they just got absolutely gashed on the ground. So don't hate Jordan Mason. I'm with Big T here. I like the Viking side of this. Philly looks absolutely broken. The offensive coordinator change has not helped them. You touched on some offensive line issues that they've had. Just a lot of stuff that doesn't look good for Philly right now. So I would definitely lean into the Vikings overs. Maybe some unders on the Eagles side.
You going to make it a clean sweep, Bales, or do you have a counterpoint here for Philly?
No, I think they nailed it. I think it's impossible to do anything with Philadelphia right now. Even when, you know, everything lines up where you're like, oh, it's easiest to just attack them on the ground. Philly will run Saquon for like 40 yards on the first drive and then just not let him touch the ball for four more drives for whatever reason. And I don't know. I think that they nailed it. If you're playing anything, it's probably Minnesota. I don't really like Minnesota myself as much as I believe they do, but fully understand, have no problems with that. I'm actually starting to get a little bit excited to see what happens with J.J. McCarthy here because, you know, obviously he's not playing this week, and we know that O'Connell said that he wants him on a full week's worth of practice, so they play Thursday next week. And are we talking, you know, now he's back after this game and leading up to Thursday, that's enough practice, or are we keeping him out another week? And like, hey, how long does this saga type of deal go on until we kind of get, I'm assuming, J.J. McCarthy back for Carson Wentz, because it would be hilarious if they just stick with Wentz throughout the year, you know?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I never understood the J.J. McCarthy thing. It just seemed like it was really premature to just like assume he was, you know, QB1 and that he was going to be good. And I don't know. It seems strange, right? There wasn't really a great quarterback class. I know he was one of the top, you know, five or six picks or whatever it was, but the jury is definitely still out on him and whether or not he makes this offense better than Carson Wentz does right now. And we will see. You guys got anything else or should we move on here?
Moving on.
Let's do it. So in case you've been living under a rock in the fantasy football world, Rashee Rice is coming back this week. Everybody's talking about him, like literally everybody. That has to make you feel a little uncomfortable as a bettor sometimes, or someone that's playing DFS and you just have to make stands. That being said, it feels like the number's a little low, according to two guys on the show, maybe three. We'll see. But Keith and Bales, you guys are kind of both on the Rashee Rice train. So, Mr. Reister, I'll toss it over to you first. Talk to me about Rashee Rice. What do you think we're going to see out of him this week?
So he's coming off a suspension, right? Not an injury, as I know we haven't seen him play since he was injured, but he's been healthy since preseason. He played in the preseason, then he was suspended. Why would he not come out and run 80% of the routes? that this is my take on it. And if that's the case, what we saw last time when Rashee Rice was on the field was a 31% target share in the first three games of 2024. He averaged over 96 yards per game in the first three games before his knee injury. The number opened at 56.5. We slammed that. And now it's up to 65.5. I still think it's too low. I mean, is there a chance that he comes out here and only plays 40% of the snaps? Sure. But I mean, if he's going to play 60 to 80% of the snaps, I think that this number is way too low. He's going to come back as the alpha receiver in this offense. Worthy has had opportunities. He looked good last week, but has failed in previous opportunities. Travis Kelce's lost a step very clearly. He looks slow and old. This is going to be Rashee Rice's offense, and Patrick Mahomes is playing at an MVP level this season. He has been absolutely incredible, reclaiming that spot as the best passer in the NFL. You give an elite receiver, an elite quarterback, and put him in a great matchup as well. Las Vegas has allowed, the fifth most yards to wide receivers this season. I don't know how we don't slam Rashee Rice overs in this spot. I like the ladder all the way up to 100 yards. You can get that about 4-1 in a lot of spots. I just think Rashee Rice is a smash in his first game back before anybody sees it.
Bales, and I just want to say the Chiefs aren't really in a position to F around. They're 500, 3-3. So why not put your best player, arguably your best player, on the field?
Yeah. The Chiefs have already said that they're not holding back with him. So, I mean, between him looking healthy in training camp, him playing in the preseason, and now obviously he's been practicing and whatnot. I mean, on top of now coach speak saying he's going to play heavy snaps, I actually, like, normally I don't just listen to coaches. They don't generally tell the truth all that much. But with the logic behind it, it just doesn't make any sense that he wouldn't play just a ridiculously heavy role. I completely agree here that, you know, Xavier Worthy, I think, is a good receiver. I don't think that he's the guy that you really want, you know, dominating the targets and stuff. I think he's, I don't want to say a gadget player. I don't believe he's just a gadget player, but I believe that, you know, there are those types of plays that are better for him. I think that he's, you know, more of a better deep threat there. I think that the matchup is elite, and Rashee Rice is going to get the 25% or higher target share. So I don't really fully understand, in an offense that obviously we know can throw the ball a ton, I don't really get why his yards are so low at the moment.
Big T, we talked a lot of Rashee Rice. Feel free to drop your take on him or anything else in this game for that matter.
Yeah, I agree. I don't understand the number really. I mean, he was clearly their number one last year. He was amazing until he got hurt, and I don't really see why. The only thing, I don't usually get in on these spots just because the big spread, Vegas bad, like that stuff, but the number's just so low. It's not like it's some number that you have to go crazy. Like he could get that in the first half, first quarter even, and just sit on it a little bit. I'm with these guys that the number's low. I don't like think he goes crazy, but I think he looks good, and the number's just so low that it makes sense. Some of these Raiders props too. I mean, Genty, he's one of my best under bets of the week. Just looking at the numbers, I think it was 59.5 right there. I think I found it somewhere even bigger when I was looking at Gambly earlier, maybe 63.5 somewhere or something like that. But I love the Genty unders in this spot. They're going to be trailing. I just don't see it. It feels heavy to me. So that would be kind of my big bet of this game, Genty unders.
Question from the chat. I know that name. What's up, Mr. Smiley? Keith, what are your thoughts on, you know, just if you're an Xavier Worthy long, you know, season long owner or something like that? By the way, this would have been a fascinating primetime showdown slate. That this would have been a ridiculous game just with Rashee coming back. Kind of disappointed that it's not. But what's your take on kind of the rest of the receiving corps now?
Yeah, I think you see Worthy transition to that deep threat role as the clear out guy. And that's not a valued role unless he hits the 40-yard touchdown pass, which he certainly still can do. But I think you see Worthy's target share come way down, and it's Rashee underneath kind of taking over what Travis Kelce used to do a couple of years ago. I think Bales threw out the number 25% for Rashee Rice targets. I think that's right in line. We could see up as high as like 28%, I think, even in this spot. I think Hollywood is basically kind of just phased out of the offense. Wide receiver 3 at best. there's just not a real role that I'm seeing for Hollywood here. I truly believe that Rashee Rice is going to come back to a massive target share here.
One thing I don't understand with the Chiefs is their obsession with using Kareem Hunt inside the 10 and not Pacheco. You know, Pacheco is out snapping Hunt. Hunt has played 23 of 34 snaps inside the 10, and Pacheco just 9 of 34. And the numbers inside the 5 kind of mirror that. It's just screaming for them to go out and get somebody at the deadline. I think they're going to. I don't know who it's going to be. You know, Breshard Smith has shown some flashes. I'm not saying, you know, he's a inside the 20 guy because he's not. He's a 7th round pick, but just a morose freaking running game they have right now. And honestly, you know, you want to give Andy Reid some, you know, a little bit of a leash here, but I don't know what the hell they're doing here. Anyway, anything else on this game, fellas?
I just want to pile on Big T's JT undercall. It's I'm right there with him because he has played less than 60% of snaps in games that they have lost by more than one score. Like that, like he's played over 80% of snaps when they win or play within one score, and he's played less than 60% of snaps in games that they lose by one or more than one score. So great call by Big T there on the GT under. I like the Mahomes passing yards number too. I know we're worried about blowout a little bit here, but we've seen the Chiefs operate where they continue to throw the ball even when they're up 2-3 scores. So Mahomes is at 254.5, I believe, right now. He's averaged 281. Plus over the last three games, he's cleared 254 in two of the last three. So I like the Mahomes passing yards as well.
I think you guys bring up good points too, that I'm usually worried about it, but their record's struggling. Rashee's back. They want to get a little mojo going. It could mean to them just leaving guys in longer too, and just trying to get a little rhythm going with their record the way it is. So I think you guys bring up good points.
For sure. In this game stays fairly close. The Chiefs are the league leader in pass rate in neutral game scenarios. So
if this game stays close, you can just nuke those ladders because I mean, they're gonna crush.
Yes, that's a good point too. I mean, you can find some correlation for SGPs based on, you know, you put a couple of them in, you know, kind of divvy up your, you know, units there, and based on what story you want to tell. I mean, that's how you play SGPs. You kind of play SGPs kind of how you want to build your showdown lineups, and I think there are plenty of interesting ways in this one to get creative and, you know, find some good odds with Rashee Rice and company here. By the way, Brock Bowers, just super disappointing. Sucks that he's not on the field. Will Jacoby Myers get traded? I mean, we're going to be talking even more about guys like Deontay Thornton and Trey Tucker even more probably in like 2 weeks from now. Oh, man. Anyway, let's move on here. We got a resident Bears fan in the house, and that's you, Keith, obviously. They're at home against New Orleans. Crazy game against the Commanders last week. Ben Johnson had a bye week to prepare. It was not all roses and, you know, butterflies and rainbows. I thought we'd see a little more early on from the Bears. But that being said, I don't know what the hell happened to DJ Moore. Maybe you have some more scoop on that. But we've been talking for weeks about when the hell are they going to start incorporating Luther Burden and Moore into this office and kind of drop the Zakiya shtick. And he had a couple big drops recently too. So he's not even playing well. So talk to me about the Bears this week. And if you have your eye on anything.
Yeah, let's start with DeAndre Swift because he just played his best game of his Bears tenure. It also came on his lowest snap count of the season. We saw Kyle Monongai up to 34% of the snaps, and Roshan Johnson even mixed in, saw the field for the first time all season. So don't be jumping on anything DeAndre Swift. I do think the offensive line changed. They benched Braxton Jones at left tackle and brought in Benedet, and he has impacted the running game. I do think the running game will be improved. I just don't trust DeAndre Swift's role at all at this point. So I know the big game last week was nice to see. I just cannot trust DeAndre Swift. The receiving core obviously depends on whether DJ Moore plays or not. And I unfortunately don't have any further insight on that. I thought coming out of the bye, we would see these rookies a lot more. Burden played 23% of the snaps. Loveland only 42% of the snaps, which is even less than he played in weeks one and two. I don't know when we're going to see these guys. You spend two top 50 picks on two playmakers, you would assume that they'd be involved in the offense, and we just have not seen it at this point. I will say, if DJ Moore misses, it's wheels up for Luther Burden. I don't care what the number is. I would be on the over there. He has looked special when he's been on the field. He just hasn't been on the field enough, so it's hard to trust anything. I think the only thing that we know at this point is that Roma Dunze is the alpha here. I'm fine making any bet you want to on him. He's still at 23.5% of the targets, over 28% first read rate. Like, it's clearly Rome over DJ, especially with DJ dealing with the injuries. If DJ misses, give me Burden, and I even think Loveland might see a little more opportunity in that spot. But it's hard to trust anything until we see it.
There might be a little narrative here with Spencer Rattler bails. I don't know if you heard any buzz about the Rattler and the Caleb Williams narrative. You're not a narrative guy, though. I know that. So
yeah, I don't do that much with narratives, but yeah, I get it. I think my issue with this game is that currently what they're projecting is 15-mile-an-hour winds up to 30-mile-an-hour gusts. I don't know, kind of until that settles down, I'm going to wait a little bit until we get more weather info before I would take anything in the passing game. And then, I mean, I like the matchup for the Saints on the ground. I just, you know, I can't trust Alvin Kamara at the moment. Miller looked like he was going to kind of take over a little bit of that backfield. Then they dropped him back down last week. I don't know. This game is mainly just a stay away because I would essentially want the two running games, and I don't think that either one has a clear path to what they're going to do. And then, you know, obviously if the weather calms down a little bit by Sunday, I'd be willing to look more at the passing games. But as long as, you know, you're going to have 15-mile-an-hour sustained winds with, you know, 30 plus gusts, not really something that I'm going to attack through the air.
Yeah, there's a lot of lines that are not on the board right now with all the, you know, question marks and things like that. Big T, got any takes for this game?
Yeah, it's one of my best games, actually. But to a key point, I won't be betting any of this stuff until Sunday either. Like, we just need to wait on weather, because some of the stuff I think that are the strongest plays are the passing games, actually. Caleb Williams checks out, like, number one on my, like, model or whatever you want to call it. Number one, and Rome is close to number one in receivers, so just total nuke spots for them. But like you said, if it's like 30-mile-an-hour winds or something, I don't necessarily want to go crazy with passing game props. So we got to wait, just numbers on that. And New Orleans, I do like the dynamic too, both those guys at Oklahoma. And it was somewhat a lot of tension that year too, following the college pretty close that year. I don't think they loved each other a whole lot in that mix. So I could see that narrative meaning a little bit more than usual. Not that it means anything once they get on the field and stuff, because it's still the same two teams, same game plans, everything. But just a little bit extra motivation for these guys. And another really good spot for me, at least, is Juwan Johnson. I know Taysom's back. My boy Taysom, nice spot for him. But Juwan Johnson, Chicago's struggled with guys like that, pass-catching tight ends. I like him a ton. To catch a touchdown, receptions. The wind might help him. He could be a guy that if it's windy, actually helps him with the reception number, some dump offs. He's not a guy that really gets super far down the field. So I want to wait on the weather, but I do like this game a decent amount. I like the Bears a lot too. I think the Bears really put it to them a little bit in this game.
Yeah, I can see that. And I'm looking forward to this news, because that could change the dynamic of, you know, DFS mostly. You know, I like sprinkling in some narrative-y stuff. I mean, after playing, you know, NBA DFS for a decade now, there's a little extra something, a little sprinkle of something. And, you know, I love numbers just like the next guy. But, you know, the eye test, I think, is a component as well. I think there's some things you need to see. One thing I saw, and Keith, I'll let you wrap it up here, the Bears defense looked significantly better last week. I know it's a one-game sample size, and they did before the bye and everything. So is that real, or are you kind of selling that?
So the Bears defense is really interesting. I think they lead the NFL in takeaways. Don't quote me on that, but they're near the top of the league if they don't. But they have also been burned deep multiple times. It's a very aggressive defense. They're going to get their takeaways, but they're also going to give up a ton of big plays. We saw Chris Olave hit for, what was it, a 56-yard touch reception last week. That's actually, if the wind is calm in this spot, like under 20 miles an hour, I like Olave over 19.5 yards as the longest reception. We think of Shaheed as the deep target in this offense, and he clearly is, no doubt. But if they're going to let Olave get some deep routes as well, that number is just too low against a defense that's very vulnerable deep still. They're still without Jalen Johnson, who's one of the best corners in the NFL. They got Kyler Gordon back, who is one of the premier slot corners and TJ Edwards back. So those two guys help the underneath stuff. They're still extremely vulnerable to the deep pass. So Olave, a super talented receiver sitting at 19 and a half as his longest reception. I really like that one.
Yeah. And speaking of guys who might be traded, I mean, there's so much smoke with Olave and, you know, Kamara said he, you know, sipping mimosas or whatever if he got traded. I don't know, but there could be some late season upside for guys like Juwan Johnson if he doesn't get dealt. Although you would think, you know, one of the veterans who's been pretty good, maybe he'd be one of those guys that kind of get chipped out. We'll see. But I was in love with Juwan Johnson the first couple of weeks of the season. I have him in my 16-team auction league, and he was just backpacking me. It was a good time. Now, I don't know, but we'll see. Anything else, boys, or should we keep it on here?
Move it along.
Go on to Miami. I mean, what a game we might have here. Looking at my guy Kevin Roth's prediction so far, I mean, it's only Friday. Shout out to Kevin. It might get ugly. He said possible sustained winds of 20 to 25 mile an hour with gusts that could be over 40. Rain's looking fairly likely. The Quinshon Judkins props, we obviously have to touch on that. You know, Judkins' role and his rushing number is at like 92, 93 and a half, which is just a freaking colossal number. Throw it over to you, Bells. Talk to me about Judkins. Are you still hitting the over here?
Yeah, so I initially was looking at it, and I wrote Judkins down at 85 and a half yesterday. Mid-90s is getting pretty ridiculous. The only thing that I kind of like here is the fact that, I mean, Dylan Gabriel doesn't have the arm to throw in this style of game. Virtually no quarterback is going to be successful in this style of game. But we know that Dylan Gabriel didn't come in with this overly strong arm. They're going to have to run the ball over and over. I'm not necessarily sure I'm taking over 93 and a half. That's getting pretty high. I do think that you can probably take his rush attempts. I think that they were either 18 and a half or 19 and a half. Ooh. Oh, we're at 20 and a half juice on the over.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. Yeah. Dude, I don't know. That's getting rough. I might just skip it. But if I'm taking something in this game, it's Judkins. The matchup against Miami's good. The only, you know, obvious concern at this point would be that you're just going to load the box as much as you possibly can because no one's going to be throwing the ball. But again, you know, volume always wins out in football, but it's getting a little bit high for me at this point.
Big D, you a Dylan Gabriel guy?
I'm definitely not a Dylan Gabriel guy, but the Judkins thing's maybe the most interesting thing of the week because it's just a slam spot, and now you get the weather, but you get the huge number like you guys are talking about. I'm not going to be scared still. I'm going over. Do I like it as much? No, I wish it was lower. But, I mean, I got him circled like everyone does. Again, I'm not saying I'm in the minority or anything, but this spot looks just absolutely perfect for Judkins. I like the dump-off game, too. What'd you say the receiving – what was it, 20 and a half? Or yeah. the rushing attempts is 20 and a half. What was his receiving?
I don't see it on FanDuel.
Yet. I wanted to because I think he could catch some dump off too. Maybe take one of those. I like his receiving number over too. Just slamming the.
I'm seeing 10 and a half yards out there.
That's what it is. 10 and a half. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I mean, I'm just slamming the Judkins one. So, yeah, is it high? I think it is. But I also think Miami can't stop the run. I don't like much about Miami at all. I think they could quit too, honestly, in bad weather in Cleveland. They're a team that seems like they would quit on me. So, I don't know. I'm slamming Judkins. I wish it was lower, but sign me up.
10 and a half seems like a six spot to ladder.
I mean that feels like a freebie to me. Like, I don't – that's just a layup.
With his ability after the catch, like he catches one and takes it for 30 yards, like you'd smash a ladder in one play.
Yeah. That just seems crazy. That's why I thought you said 20 and a half, but I realized that wasn't even what it was. I expected it to be like 20.
I mean – you know, Gabriel's shown us a noodle arm so far, and if the wind's really going to be blowing, like, they're going to have to pass at some point, even if it's not crazy volume. Where do we think the ball's going to go? David Njoku's probably not going to play. I mean, that definitely helped, you know, a little bit, maybe not direct correlation, but could be a Harold Fanning game. You know, the The 2 yard A dot guys are going to be cleaning up.
I'm glad you just talked about Fannin. I don't want to interrupt you, but he was, I totally forgot about it. He's my favorite play of the week because Njoku just got ruled out while we're on the show. And I mean, Fannin is an absolute slam. I'm glad, I don't know how I forgot it because that was the one guy I wanted to talk about and I totally spaced it. But Njoku out, I mean, and I want to slam that right now before people realize the weather. Before people realize that Njoku might have boosted it a little bit or whatever, I want to slam those Fannin numbers.
Yeah, that's a good call. Bales, I don't know if you have anything else on this game. I just looked at the DFS pricing. I haven't really dove in yet. It's been a busy week. 6K? I mean, you know, Keith and Big T, I know you're more in the DFS streets. Are we talking like blindly thinking here, you know, over under 40% ownership in the millie or like higher stake stuff at 6K? I mean, with these props and his projections, I mean, he should be priced like an 8K back this week, you would think.
It just feels like a freebie to me. I honestly, let me pull it up too while you guys are looking. Like I'll pull it up, but feels like a freebie, and Fannin's going to be like a freebie for me too. And with this weather in DFS where you're not talking like prop numbers, I don't really see how you get away from it.
Yeah, I completely. He's way too cheap for DFS. Like, I don't care what the ownership number is. He's a smash.
Yeah, like, you know, some chalk is okay. I think people kind of think being contrarian is like playing nobody that's popular. But in this day and age where more than not, more people are having some kind of sophisticated projections that are all pretty good and leaning on the same data, like, there's a reason that some of these guys are owned. And I understand you have to take different stands for different game types, and contest selection is integral in managing your portfolio. But again, you know, 2.5 point spread, Vegas thinks it's going to be kind of close. minus 120 to score a touchdown. I thought it would be juiced a little bit higher. I've been keeping an eye on 2 touchdown props a little bit lately, just to see if it correlated with who's been going off at the running back position.
That minus 120 number is awesome. Just want to throw that out there. I'd jump all over that.
I think the low total just skews some of these numbers too, where it's a super low total. So like they don't want to hang big numbers because there's not many touchdowns, but still, like, I just don't, it's only got them. Like, I'm looking a few different places. It's 30% or less right now too, again, some chalk is just good chalk, and Fannin's unowned right now. That might change a little bit, but man, I love those two plays.
Bales, any other takes from this one here?
No, I just want to hammer down that Big T nailed it. I mean, Fannin, his A dot's like 6.4 on the year. You have, what, 6 targets per game going away from Njoku. I think that Fannin's the really sharp play here, yeah.
I got one more that's way off the board. And I mentioned him last week just because I saw the role increasing a ton. Isaiah Bond played 86% ran a route on 86% of dropbacks last week. He saw 7 targets. Now, Dylan Gabriel stinks, and he only caught 2 of those for 29 yards, but his number is still sitting at 23.5. So as long as the weather is even somewhat remotely okay, Isaiah Bond could have a massive role where he's out there 80% plus of the time and has a receiving prop of 23.5 yards. Like, I'm hammering that in.
Those are my favorite props, too. The total dark horse guys. Like, I know it's like the showdown part of me, but I just love when you get like small numbers and you can ladder them. And when you're right, you just win all the money. I that's what I love.
No, I'm with you, man. I mean, look at Yosevash last night.
Yoshi last night.
I mean, you know,
he could have nuked for us, and he did do good, but he could have nuked.
Another guy that did a hell of a lot of cardio, you know, last week, typically has done a ton of cardio and hasn't done anything with it. But he had some volume the last couple of weeks, so it wasn't totally surprising. Earlier in the year, it was like Darius Slayton was kind of the same thing, just straight cardio, running 90% of the routes, eventually going to get a couple balls thrown your way. But I agree with you. Those are the ones you want to ladder. And we talked about that on the show earlier in the season where the books were just way too low on guys in new roles. And we were kind of hitting those, you know, the Isle Manners and those kind of guys early in the season that, you know, really came through for us. And now it's starting to tighten up a little bit. So, you know, a little bit harder to find those spots. We good? Anything else?
Yeah.
Go on to
Achane, maybe real quick before we move on. Sorry, we've been on this game a long time, but Achane is like wide receiver 2 without Tyreek Hill. 4.5 receptions is too low for him.
especially against a team who's like borderline historically good against the run this year, right? I mean, if you have a, you know, if there's a brain there in Mike McDaniel's play calling kind of hierarchy now, you would understand you probably can't run into a buzzsaw despite the weather. So maybe get Achan in space, you know, line of scrimmage targets, get him the ball. I like that call a lot too. Mike McDaniel, next coach gone? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. My pipe dream is him at OC with Cam Ward next year. And somebody else running the show, though. I don't know. It'll probably be a disaster anyway. Speaking of disaster, the Jets and the Panthers are the next game. Garrett Wilson, doubtful. I mean, God, you know, I have it bad as a Titans fan, but when we talk Browns and Jets, at least we had a couple good Vrabel Derrick Henry years recently. So maybe I should be a little more optimistic. But without Garrett Wilson in this one, you know, Keith, I think you want to talk about one of the Jets pass catchers. So have at it.
Yeah, no Garrett Wilson. Where are the targets going to go? He has dominated targets, dominated first read rate. We've seen Mason Taylor step up into a serious role. 96% of the snaps last week, 40 and a half yards on the receiving number. I think that's too low for a guy who's going to be massively involved here.
Yeah, a little slow start to the year. I don't hate it. I mean, when the next guy stepping up is Josh Reynolds, I don't think there's going to be, you know, competition for targets. Bales, you have any interest in this game? You have any thoughts on the Panther side of the ball? We were talking about the Dowdle versus, you know, Chuba situation, which is, yeah, who knows at this point? We'll see.
Honestly, there's nothing for Carolina that I like. I think, you know, McMillan gets sauce. You have the running backs just kind of 50-50. I don't really know what's going to happen there. I agree. Mason Taylor, I think this game is pretty ugly. If there's anything I'm playing here, it's Mason Taylor. But even that, it's just, I don't know. New York is just so bad on that side of the ball. I don't 100% know if Carolina is going to be able to stop the run enough to kind of force them to be throwing the ball that much. And we know that if you're going to let New York run the ball, they're just going to run it as much as they possibly can. I think it's a good call with Mason Taylor. Someone has to do something for the receiving. And obviously Carolina has been one of the worst teams in the NFL against tight ends this year. Nothing on the Carolina side for me, though.
Yeah, I didn't mention that. Carolina has allowed the most yards to tight ends, with just another reason to like Taylor there.
Plus 260 for Taylor to score seems kind of fun. 12-1 for his touchdown. I throw some lunch money on it. Big T, you got anything in this one?
I agree with a lot of the stuff you guys were saying. There's somehow or another, I don't know how, but Jatavion Sanders for Carolina, like, checks out crazy good on my chart. Like, best value play of the week at tight end, even higher than, as far as value, higher than Fannin even, not as far as total number, but just a great spot for him. Great spot for Mason Taylor. I was going to bring him up. I love that you guys are on him too. It feels like we're in sync a little bit with a lot of these props. And one of my hot takes of the week, though, highest owned guy of the week, Breece Hall in fantasy. And people like me for my crazy like hot takes. Like, I just think Breece Hall is a bad play. He's only 6,300. I get why people want to play him on DraftKings and his props for that matter. It's one thing when you got Garrett Wilson out there, all of a sudden now Fields can't throw and no Garrett Wilson. I just don't love the matchup near as much as other people will. I'm going to be under on Breece Hall, under on him in fantasy, under on him in props. And I agree with everything else you guys said. I don't know how they don't just play Rico too. He looked incredible the last 2 weeks. I don't care if Chuba's back. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Just let the guy play. It was incredible the last 2 weeks. They should have just squashed it and said, Chuba, what, just give, who knows? Rico will probably come back to reality. We've seen him the last couple of years, but until that happens, ride him out. I mean, the dude went for 200 yards both weeks. I don't see how there's a controversy, but that's classic Carolina to do that. But give me the tight ends over Mason Taylor, Jatavion, and the unders for Breece Hall.
Right before the show, we were talking, Underdog posted that allegedly, Carolina made an internal decision on who would start and get a bulk of the touches, but of course they're not
gonna. It's gotta be freaking Rico. Like, it just
it's gotta be. I'm completely with Tony here. Yeah, I'm totally with Tony on this one. It's gotta be Rico. Like, come on.
At this point,
I don't care who it is. Like, if there goes for 200 back to back weeks, like, it could be anybody, and like, why not just ride them out? Like, I don't get it.
there are a lot of desperate teams for backs right now. I you know, my thought was sell freaking high. Like, if you can get some decent draft capital for Rico or even something, you know, Chuba has proven to be reliable. I mean, not, you know,
imagine Chuba in Kansas City or something. Like, he would be amazing there.
Totally. Or the Chargers. We're talking about the Chargers. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. But also, you made a good point just DFS-wise. I guess Breece Hall at basically the same price point in what everyone perceives to be a good matchup might keep the Judkins ownership a little lower than what I blindly kind of expected. So
I think everyone's going to kind of play them both, just looking at the pricing. I haven't dove fully into it, but looking at the pricing, I think they're just going to both get played.
And there's Jordan Mason going to get squeezed right between them, Keith. You brought up Jordan Mason earlier. I mean, there's
Mason. I'm with you guys.
Woo, sub 10% play, maybe. We'll see. Against a team that is just spiraling. Could get interesting. But anyway, the next game up, which I wish we could skip, is the Patriots at Tennessee. And the only thing I'm going to say is this has 34-12 written all over it or just something terrible. I perceive Sunday being a terrible day for me. One of my best friends is getting married Saturday, so not only am I going to be hungover Sunday, I'm just going to see Mike Vrabel just flaunted in my face because it's just a dysfunctional shit show of an organization of the Tennessee Titans. But that being said, you know, the passing game in New England's been fun. Keith Eyster, you like anything in the Patriots-Tennessee game?
I don't. Like, I think New England's going to dominate, unfortunately for you. But I can't trust the running backs. Like, Ramondre was up to set. Like, Antonio Gibson goes out, and we hope maybe this is the week for Travion now. Nope, 72% of the snaps for Ramondre, only 30% for Travion. I want to play Travion Henderson so bad, but you cannot. He just has not seen the field enough. I think maybe he gets involved late in a blowout, but it's really hard to trust. I don't know that I'm into the Patriots passing game. It's a great spot for them, but I don't trust Diggs all that much. We saw him take a step back last week as well. I'm not really liking anything. I think the most interesting thing that I found from this game is that Tyjae Spears outsnapped Tony Pollard last week. Mr. Resident Titan fan, you got anything on that? I mean, trailing game script. I don't know what his receptions prop is, but that's something you might be into.
Love Tyjae Spears, but if he is going to be the workhorse, he's going to be in a body bag by the end of the year. He just cannot handle that type of snap count. My biggest just macro thought is, how do you sell off enough of these assets? Because the one thing about Tennessee is they have a lot of these veteran guys on like one-year deals that are actually kind of attractive role players on both sides of the ball. But how do you do that without it really being completely detrimental to Cam Ward taking a big step back? You already have changed play callers. You already have a crap offensive line. You have like no weapons offensively. So how do they play this thing right? The season's gone. They have $120 million in cap space next year. They're going to be selling off some parts. I mean, Pollard would have a big cap hit, I believe. I guess I was a little surprised to see Spears take on that large of a role kind of immediately. But no, I just think it's a stay away from me. I am a little surprised that we're seeing a 5.5, 6.5 point spread here. I know there's a gigantic narrative at play here, and I am not optimistic whatsoever, but there's a part of me that's getting the Cincy vibe from last night. Same kind of spread. The total was a little higher in the Cincy game, though. And everybody wants to also push this, well, you know, new coach week after thing, like the whatever you want to call it, the generic. They have to play better. That's not necessarily always the case. This team is terrible. I don't know, Bales. I'm kind of staying away from this game from a betting perspective.
Yeah, I there's not a lot to love. I think that Chika Okonkwo is actually really nice. 32.5 yards is pretty low for him. Real good receiving tight end. New England is allowing the second most receiving yards per game to tight ends, right behind Carolina. Obviously, you know, I'm on board with, I think New England wins this game, which means that Tennessee is going to be throwing quite a bit throughout. Cam Ward looks a little more viable now. Seems like he's, I don't want to say that, you know, he's coming into his own or anything, but looks a little bit better now. And while we were on stream here, Calvin Ridley got ruled out officially. So I think Okonkwo is actually a pretty good option. I think he should get a reasonable amount of targets, and 32.5 receiving yards, just a bit too low.
Big T, talk to me here. I'm not looking for any sense of optimism on the Tennessee side, but from a betting or DFS perspective, you got anything?
I honestly agree with the ton that you guys said. Okonkwo checks out is a really good play for me. Ramondre checks out. I'm 100% with you guys, though. Like, I was on Travion in the offseason. I was on him the first couple weeks. I keep waiting for the explosion, but I just can't keep playing him. I just can't. Until we see it, it's another one where I'm just going to wait and see it. I'm done. I'm done with it. And Ramondre, like, checks out as a really good play. So I might end up with a little bit of Ramondre, actually, in the spot. But I'm with you guys. I don't need to waste a ton of time on this game.
Yeah, the one thing about Vrabel, I will say, is he loves hanging with the veterans. And he loves receivers that pass block. If you can pass block, you're on the field. I lived through him, like, throwing guys like Cody Hollister playing, like, 70% of the snaps. And, you know, the problem is he can't even trust Ramondre at this point. So it's just maddening that he won't give the more explosive back more touches. So either way, I do think they're going to run it up. That being said, wow, I'm curious to see what they – reopen like the Iowa Manor props. Okonkwo could get traded. That's interesting. I think the best player on Tennessee this year in limited time was Gunnar Helm, kid from Texas who was kind of highly touted. I would love to see them free Gunnar Helm for the second half of the season, and he'll be like 2,500 in DFS the first week. Okonkwo might get dealt hypothetically. Anyway, this game sucks. I'm going to move on. We'll get to a much better game here in the 4 o'clock window. Colts and Chargers. You know, pouring salt into the open wound here for Tennessee fans and Giants fans. Daniel Jones, we talked about it last week. Shout out to Shane Steichen. He's done a great job. This offense is absolutely humming. And they'll take on the Chargers. And things are going to get interesting. This should be a really fun game. I'll throw it over to you, Keith. You want to talk Jonathan Taylor? Is that right?
Yeah, the Colts are underdogs in this spot. And I'm not sure that I understand why. The Chargers are dealing with massive injuries. So the risk with JT is that he kind of gets game scripted out and he doesn't see 20 plus carries because they're in a trailing game script. But I think at worst, the Colts are going to be able to keep this within one score. JT is going to see a full workload here. The Chargers have allowed 5 yards per carry on the season. They've been far better against the pass. Their offensive line is completely banged up. I don't expect their offense to be able to do just absolutely steamroll like they were kind of earlier in the season. I think the Colts can at least keep it within one score, if not play from ahead. And that makes Jonathan Taylor an absolute smash. I just give me his receiving yard or rushing yards, 88.5. We talked about Judkins is higher than that. There's a couple other guys up in that realm, but Jonathan Taylor over 88.5 rushing yards.
Big T, you like this game for a DFS perspective or anything like that?
It might be the first time the whole show so far that I don't love the same stuff. I'm pretty low on JT. I got his unders pretty high on my sheet. I just think it's a Chargers spot. I think the Colts have had a pretty easy schedule, haven't had to play the same level of competition. The worry is, though, how injured the Chargers are. They're super banged up, guys out and stuff. But I think this is a pretty good spot for the receivers. Ladd looked a little better last week. Quentin, I don't know what his status. I haven't checked all the injuries. Do we know if
he's back?
He's back. Okay. Yeah. So we get those guys back, full workload. I don't know though. The Colts have kind of shocked me all year. I've been under on them most weeks. I'll admit it. I've been wrong on a lot of the stuff with them. So maybe my numbers aren't as good with this Colts team. And I am always high on the Chargers. So with that clarification, I think I'm on the Chargers side more. None of the stuff sticks out as like really good plays to me though. Just kind of browsing through it. JT unders are one of my better for the game though. So we have one of our first disagreements of the show.
Bale, Daniel Jones, obviously a hot topic of the NFL. And Tony, I know you mentioned a long shot MVP ticket earlier in the year. You're on the right show because we've been throwing around Daniel Jones and our guy Jeff, who's usually here, throws out some ridiculousness, but it's pretty awesome, man. At this point, I mean, if the Colts keep winning games, who knows? That being said, Bales, what are you on with Daniel Jones here this week?
Yeah, I like Daniel Jones passing and rushing yards. The big concern generally with Jones is, at least I'm not generally like viewed as a concern, but when you look at it, it's that the Colts have just been blowing teams out. The other week, he didn't even really play the fourth quarter at all, which is, you know, kind of crazy for an NFL game. But obviously slight dogs. If you're going to have Daniel Jones throwing all four quarters, I think that the skill position is just a little bit too good for how low they set his yardage. I also think that the rushing is just really good. The Chargers have been bad against running quarterbacks. Daniel Jones, obviously, I don't even want to call it like sneaky rushing potential anymore. We all know how good Daniel Jones can be on the ground. I do know that Josh Downs was just ruled out, which I think is a little concerning, but Alec Pierce is supposed to return, so that'll help bolster them a little bit. On the other side, I think the Big T nailed it. I like the wide receivers for the Chargers. I think I generally lean towards Quentin Johnston. I just think that he's the guy that gets the best type of targets. That would be my number one guy there, but I do think that both passing games are going to look pretty good throughout this game, and I think that it could be pretty high scoring throughout. So I think that that's kind of how that I would attack this personally.
Yeah, my thoughts are I think the Chargers are going to keep throwing the ball. They're throwing at the second highest neutral rate in the league, which, you know, opportunity matters. Trey Harris looked pretty good. I know Quentin Johnson's back. I wonder what his role is going to be. I don't see any lines for him anywhere, but there's been some really high coach speak on Trey Harris too, finally. So I think that's interesting. How about Gadsden recently just completely taking over at tight end from a snaps perspective? Anybody have any takes on Gadsden at tight end?
I like him.
Yeah, I think he's good. I think that he benefit from Quentin Johnston being out a bit. You get more targets and whatnot, but I think that he's a really good receiving option.
He gets like low numbers too, which is nice. I mean, he should get low numbers. It's not like he's going off or something, but you can get, I mean, he's got like the 27th highest projection for tight end, and I got him ranked like 12th. So like it's a little bit of a upscale.
Cool. Could be a contrarian look on Sunday for a guy with a bigger role. Let's move on. I know we're a little crunch for time. Thanks for sticking with us, everybody. Give us a like and a follow. The G-Men at Denver, and the Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo experience keeps rolling in. You know, they're going to have a test unlike any other that they've had this year up in Mile High at Denver. Should be tough sledding for them in theory. J.K. Dobbins, though, pretty nice number there. Bales, I know you're in on him. I like the 61.5 rushing yards number. Another case where another coach who's been around a while is just not taking the training wheels off RJ Harvey, which is not great for my best ball portfolio, but J.K. Dobbins has really done nothing to lose that job at all. He's been pretty great.
Yeah, I was really high on Harvey coming into the season. Thought Dobbins was pretty cooked, and he just isn't. He looks really good. The explosive runs are there. It's a great matchup against New York. I think that he's kind of the obvious guy, but I don't think that that necessarily makes it wrong. I also think that Denver's going to be playing ahead in this game, and generally when that's the case, Dobbins does get those touches. On the other side, I think that Scadaboo's receiving yards are pretty nice there. Denver struggles against backs out of the backfield. You know, last week, I would have assumed a little bit bigger of a role for Scadaboo. He only ran 16 routes. But also, you know, the Giants were ahead against the Eagles for the majority of the game, so they didn't really have to do that too much. So I think that he's set right around, I believe he was at 14.5. I'm not sure what he's at now, but I think that both of those make a lot of sense in this game.
All right, Keith, you got anything in this one?
I have nothing. Let's keep it moving.
That's fair. Tony?
I actually have a random play, too. Well, it's not random, but I can't believe that it pops the way it does. Cortland Sutton, like, pops. The Giants have been really bad against receivers, so I kind of understand why, but I was shocked how high he was up my chart. I like J.K. Dobbins, too. Those are the two guys I like, Dobbins and Sutton. I know they don't really correlate with each other, how the game flow goes, so got to pick and choose what you go with. So maybe I go with the Dobbins side just because it makes more sense. But Cortland Sutton does check out really, really nicely for me.
Yeah, I like that call.
I will say if Slayton or Jalin Hyatt gets ruled out, I do like Wandell Robinson receptions.
Yeah, he's been a machine.
Yeah, like 28% call of targets last week, 94% of routes.
And just to piggyback off Scadaboo, Bales, he only ran 16 routes, but Tyrone Tracy only ran 6. So that's encouraging just from a workload perspective. But we will keep moving on. We have two more games left on the main slate. One that could be a banger, and I'm sure we're going to spend a little bit of time here. Washington at Dallas. We'll see. We'll see. A lot of injury news we're kind of waiting on. It looks like Terry McLaurin is out. And then another interesting one is Trayvon Diggs got hurt at home allegedly yesterday, and he's out. So a bad defense getting worse is not good news for the Cowboys. Keith Eister, kick it over to you first. Talk to me here.
I mean, this is just a smash for Jaden Daniels. The Cowboys have been just roasted through the air all season long. Daniels was at 222 and a half when I wrote him up on Wednesday. He's up to 227 and a half, 234 and a half in one spot. Like, this number's on the rise. It's an absolute smash spot for Jaden Daniels. I think if you can get anything under 235, I'd be in on the over for Daniels. Even though he's without some receivers, he showed decently in a tough weather game last week, 211 yards. He was over 230 in the other two healthy games he's played this season. We know that Dallas has been roasted. Diggs, I don't know that's necessarily a downgrade. Like, he's a reason they've given up some of these big plays. He obviously is very aggressive and can create turnovers, but he does also give up big plays. So I'm kind of torn on that. I was hoping McLaurin would be able to play for this game. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Hopefully Debo will be out there. He played through the Q tag last week and showed out pretty well. So I think as long as Debo is in there, I'm in on Jaden Daniels. Chris Moore played okay. Jalen Lane is capable. And Luke McCaffrey just catches a touchdown every week. So there's still some capable pass catchers. And even Dusty Zach Ertz is still capable. So without McLaurin, as long as Debo's in there, I'm in on the Jaden Daniels over, just given the absolute nut matchup.
Yeah, to nobody's surprise, the Cowboys are yielding the highest yards per attempt and the highest quarterback rating to opposing quarterbacks this year. What are you thinking, Bales, about this one?
Yeah, I like Jaden Daniels, obviously. I would add his rushing to it, though. Dallas has struggled against mobile quarterbacks at times. The other guy that it kind of interests me for Washington would be Jeremy McNichols. I think that his receiving yards, depending on where they drop, are pretty interesting. Just kind of nowhere to go on that offense. He's looked good as a pass catcher. So I think that he's in a pretty good spot. And then on the other side, I know that CeeDee Lamb is going to play this week, but I think that Jake Ferguson is a really solid option. Or I also think that you can go Dak Prescott, his pass yards. Both of those in kind of creating a game stack here makes sense.
Yeah, Dallas is still passing at the seventh highest neutral rate in the league. And when they've led by 7+, according to Fantasy Points, they're still passing at a top 10 rate in the league. So CeeDee Lamb's back. How healthy is he? We don't know. Big T, you got a pulse on anything on this one?
I like a few of those calls. Jake Ferguson, I like. Actually, another like random guy that I like a lot is Debo. I think Debo fits this build. He's been banged up. We know how Debo is. He pops off here and there. I feel like this is a really good spot. Some of my plays, like, don't grade out as good as I thought they would. Again, a lot of it is just it's a 54 projection, so the numbers are higher and stuff. But, like, Javonte projects pretty bad for me. And then Jaden and Dak both are lower than I thought they would be. And lower than I thought they would be is still, like, high. But for a 54 total, I expected them to, like, break my scale almost of what I was looking at. I'm a little bit lower on them, but I think we see points. Both defenses aren't any good, but the total is really high. Yeah, I agree with a lot of the other takes you guys had.
Question for you, Keith. Matt Eberflus, I mean, they're playing the second most zone in the league. Was he a zone? What did he play at Chicago? I mean, Was it typically cover three?
Yeah, like, total like league high zone rates is his thing. Like, going to sit back and let you pick him apart underneath. And then Dallas has been getting beat deep on top of that. So what they're trying to prevent, they're not able to prevent, and they're going to give you anything you want underneath. So I love Big T's Debo call for that reason in the spot. I think Zach Ertz could factor really well in this game as well. So
God, yeah, I do love Ertz too. I'm glad you said that, because as short as they are at receiver right now, Ertz is just – yeah, I'm glad you said that. I love Ertz.
And with Daniels, I wrote up Ertz last week. With Daniels, he's been great. Like two-thirds of the time. I don't know what the number was. I don't remember. But I love that Zach Ertz call a lot in this one too. And I get it. I mean, Dallas played a lot less zone last year under a different DC. And I know when you lose Micah Parsons and you have no pass rush, you really can't exactly play as much man, but it's so predictable and predictably bad. So it's bad news. So should be a fun one. You guys got anything else on this one before we move on? All right. Again, yeah, a lot of some questionable tags there. Another one we'll have to keep an eye on the injury report. Last game on the main slate, and then we will wrap it up. Green Bay at Arizona. Keith, you want to talk to me about Josh Jacobs? Is that right?
Yes, I do. Obviously, his rushing looks really good. They're 7-point road favorites. Arizona is not anywhere near the team that Green Bay is. So even though they're on the road, I feel pretty good about Jacobs. The thing that surprised me, though, was his receiving role. And this has been since Jaden Reed has gone out. 19% target rate. That is second on the team to only Romeo Doubs. So they have all these talented pass catchers, Golden and Kraft and all these guys. But Josh Jacobs is the one that has benefited from Jaden Reed being out. His last 3 weeks, he's gone 57 receiving yards, 71 receiving yards, and 44 receiving yards. The number sitting at 17.5. He has absolutely just destroyed that number for three straight weeks. I don't know if it's real. Like, there's a lot of mouths to feed in this Green Bay offense, but for whatever reason, Josh Jacobs has been getting a ton of receiving volume, which is, it's incredible for DFS. I think he's, if everyone's going to play JT or whoever, and we can get to Jacobs, I think his receiving role is going a little bit overlooked.
I like that call. Bale, over to you, buddy. What do you got?
Yeah, I like the combo of Jordan Love and Tucker Kraft. Arizona's really bad against tight ends, which, you know, Kraft is one of the better ones. And then the only concern I have is obviously the spread is so high. But Arizona's played teams tough. They don't really win much, but they are playing teams relatively tough to the point where they can keep games close. And they're basically just been a pass funnel. Teams are throwing nearly 63% of the time. It's one of the highest rates in the NFL. I think it's like the fifth highest or something. And outside of a team like Green Bay, I think it's within 1% of the second highest rate in the league. So, you know, they kind of just force you to throw the ball. Love, obviously, I don't necessarily love any in particular pass catcher outside of Kraft. I think that they just have so many guys who just kind of do well that I would rather just take someone like Jordan Love and kind of get the entire passing game instead of one particular guy.
My quick chime in here is from a reputable Cards beat writer 11 minutes ago. He posted, Marvin Harrison is no longer in a yellow non-contact jersey. Which is good. Kyler Murray is still working with the scout team pass catchers. Jacoby is working with the top pass catchers, and it's Friday. So, you know, we're running out of time here for more so, it seems like Kyler. It seems like things are a little more optimistic for Marvin Harrison, who's a tough play as it is with how inconsistent, you know, the quarterback play has been, Tony. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think they're better with Jacoby right now. Maybe not long term, maybe not as much upside, but definitely it's almost like the Flacco thing with Jacoby. Flacco can throw it better than Jacoby, obviously, but they can read the defense, they can make plays. Kyler's just terrible. I'm not even remotely a Kyler guy, so I think they're a little better. Obviously, Marvin Harrison helps being in there. I thought Green Bay got pushed around. I know they won last week, but Cincinnati's O-line kind of pushed them around. I wish it was more of a clear situation with the Arizona running game. Michael Carter, I mean, he checks out as a good play. It's just you got a little bit of a timeshare on a bad team. Do I really want to invest in the Arizona guys when we like all this stuff? It's a good – I think it's a better matchup than people think, but I don't know how heavy I'll be. I mean, it's an ugly game, but I am not a Green Bay guy at all. I love what Jacobs does, but man, I'm just not a fan of Arizona or of Green Bay right now.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, we're only in week seven, but that week, you know, the early week's domination feels like an eternity ago. I mean, every couple of weeks just feels like a new season in this freaking league. It's crazy, and that's why we love it so much. That being said, this is how we like to wrap up our show, Big T, and I'll defer to you last year, but we like to pick our favorite prop that we talked about today out of all the ones we talked about. Tough call for me, but I do like J.K. Dobbins in this one. And I would say Judkins is probably up there too. I figured one of you would say Judkins, so I didn't want to give the easy out. But I like Dobbins over 61.5, you know, positive game script. as good as those Giants edge rushers are, Brian Burns, fantastic. You can run on the Giants for sure. So I like Dobbins in this one. Keith, what's your favorite prop that we talked about today?
With the McLaurin news, I'm seeing Jaden Daniels back up, back around that 22.5 number. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels passing yards over is my favorite of the week.
All right, Bales, what do you got?
Yeah, I've said him the entire offseason prior to the suspension. Now he's back from it. I'm just going to go Rashee Rice, even at, you know, 65.5 or whatever he's at now. Count me in.
Big T, favorite prop of the day.
I was pulling up the gambling to try to find the best prices because I didn't see it. But I'll go with the Fannin. I think Fannin, a little bit of a hot take, I think. He's not going to be owned in fantasy. But I can do 6-plus receptions and 50-plus receiving yards, which is both plus numbers. At plus 280, a little two-teamer, but I like them both straight up too. I think he gets just peppered, and those numbers might feel a little heavy, but in that wind, I love the matchup. I love to give a nice plus number too for the people. So I'll go with Fannin, two of those.
Love it. Well, we were a little over time. Thanks everyone for sticking with us. If you're tuning in late, Tony, where can the people find you and what you do?
Yeah, runpuresports.com, also the YouTube channel. I'll be over there shortly for a college football show. I think there's 4 games tonight. There's obviously a bunch of games tomorrow, and then any of my other content. Do basically every sport, so this is the stuff I love. I love coming on these shows, talking to sharp people like you guys. Check it out if you like more of this content, just how it is.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough for joining us. Come back sometime soon, man. Love chopping it up. It's been awesome. Of course, you can catch Keith and Bales at Props and all over Twitter. We're not hard to find. We got a ton of content up. Bales has been grinding NBA preseason. Tuesday is coming, boys. The madness is back. My wife can hate me between 6 and 11 Eastern. You know, got the social stuff out of the way early in the fall. Now, zero dark 30 mode, as LeBron says, a.k.a. I'm going to be miserable. But anyway, thank you all for tuning in. We're going to get out of here. That's Big T. That's Bales. That's Keith. I'm the Looch. Enjoy week 7, everybody, and good luck.